talking about all things professional wrestling. It's Brain Stew Wrestling.
And with that, we welcome you to the return of Brain Stew Wrestling.
Triumphant return.
Triumphant. Welcome, everybody. My name is Hammy. Joining me in studio is Michael Punchifer Falcone.
Yeah.
And special guest in studio, stand-up comedian KP Burke. KP, right. What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, good to be here with you guys. Thank you.
Welcome to the return of Brain Stew Wrestling. We're very excited to bring the show back. And what better way to bring the show back than WrestleMania week? Because WWE's biggest event possibly ever, this Sunday, 7 o'clock, WWE Network. If you don't have a subscription to the network, get it now.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to want to miss this. I'm very excited for the pay-per-view.
WrestleMania and the day after WrestleMania, the 2 days where WWE gets their shit together creatively.
Right.
The 48-hour period.
And especially now with NXT. Yeah. NXT, by far, the better product going into this weekend. I'm more excited for NXT than I am WrestleMania. I'm being a little, can't really shit on the main product that much, but NXT's really pulling me, and I'm more excited for that than the main card. But
NXT's going to get the largest mark out I've probably ever had when we get to that segment.
Nakamura is making his debut. I cannot wait for this. But in the meantime, KP, first time in here, first time meeting you. What is your wrestling history? What got you into this wonderful kayfabe spectacle known as professional wrestling?
Oh, it's been a bunch of things over the years. I think now, like, the crazy thing is that, now WrestleMania is actually in its 30s, so it's also a member of the internet wrestling community. So it's got that going for it, right? But I fell in love with it in 1996. Stone Cold Steve Austin was saying all the things that John Wayne said in the movies I watched with my dad, and I just kind of fell in love with the character and stuck around ever since.
The anti-hero, you, corporate boss or whatever. Is there any one specific moment that really got you saying, wow, I really love this stuff? it had to have been something involving Austin, you just said. So was it the first stunner to Vince? Was it the Zamboni incident? Was it the corporation taking a beer bath? What was the first thing that really got you saying, oh, wow, this is kind of awesome?
I would say, wrestling was a big thing for me growing up because that was the first thing that was frowned upon in my house. Because this was a dangerous time for wrestling to late 90s to get into it. It was like watching Jerry Springer or getting caught with, friggin' Playboy magazine.
It's trash TV.
That was the deal. But the big thing was I would sneak around and I would watch Livewire in the mornings, try to catch up on the stuff I missed. But if I could catch that first hour of Raw from 9 to 10 before I had to go to bed at night when I was a little kid, that was like an exciting thing.
Back then, where every single second of Monday Night Raw was must-watch TV, back when everyone, at the competition, because you got to admit, when the Monday Night Wars ended and WWE was the only game in town, the overall quality of the product just shrunk dramatically.
Yeah, that kind of happens when you're the only game in town for a while, in the high-profile scene. With anything, but wrestling included.
I think they just combined Livewire with Raw now, because there's 1 hour of just the replays of everything you missed earlier. So they do that.
Don't talk about SmackDown like that. SmackDown, a.k.a. the Raw replay, for those of you who missed Monday night.
You know those SmackDowns are getting better since they added Mauro Ranallo to the announce team.
It's still a running that Raw replay. I haven't watched a full episode of SmackDown, and I can't tell you how long.
The commentary is better, though, because what I like about the SmackDown team is Mauro Ranallo is a great play-by-play guy. He always has been.
What is a Mauro Ranallo? Hang on.
He used to be the commentator for Pride Fighting Championships, but he also does a lot of the English language commentary for New Japan.
Dude, he sounds like a wine you would pair with something. We recommend the 18-year-old Mauro Ranallo.
Mauro Ranallo.
There it is.
But the good thing is he's forced Lawler to be the heel commentator again.
Okay. Never mind. I like him.
So, yeah.
I really do miss the heel king.
He's heel again. It's great.
I love it.
Much better. He became the creepy face for, a decade.
I think the last really great Jerry Lawler moment was the shot where he was caught, staring at Paige's ass on Monday Night Raw commentary.
Yeah, that was,
you saw it, you paused TV, and you're like, you could clearly see how bad he was checking her out. Yeah. I mean, I don't blame him, but Jerry Lawler's great.
I think didn't
pervert.
She
and that's a man who had the cat too, mind you.
Didn't Paige tell Lawler that she was too old for him?
Like, didn't I think so. Like a fan, I think a fan tweeted her and she responded with, "Oh, he's too old for me."
Or no, she's too old for him.
Oh, okay, okay.
Because he likes them really young.
Paige's sarcastic, man. She don't screw around. I love her. But anyway, it's WrestleMania this Sunday, 7 p.m. on the WWE Network. Are we excited for this? Like, I know WrestleMania, it used to be you got excited no matter what. And I think in recent times, at least the past two WrestleManias, we were really excited for this grand event. But now with WrestleMania 32, AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Texas, are we really excited for this pay-per-view?
It'll be the only time KP is not rooting against the home team.
That's true. That's you know what it is? They got it wrong. How many years in a row, though? I mean, the Royal Rumble used to be my favorite thing ever. That was I watched. This is a true story. The 1998 Royal Rumble. I had it on VHS. I watched it so many times. I wore the tape out, and it was right around the time when Steve Austin comes running in from the crowd or whatever, and he has that great moment. I mean, that was huge for me. I literally destroyed that videotape. But last couple of years, they haven't really had a good thing. They've had natural storylines there, and then they avoid him. It's like if do you guys watch Breaking Bad or no?
I do, yeah.
I'm just starting to watch Breaking Bad.
Oh, now I can't use my reference. Thank you.
Use your reference.
Use your reference because 99.9% of people that are listening to this or watching this have seen Breaking Bad. I'm just the idiot that hasn't seen anything.
Yeah, don't let anything Bubble Boy hasn't seen affect your references.
Nice. Well,
literally Bubble Boy.
It doesn't really ruin anything, but there's a part in there where they allude to Jesse used to be in a band, and he goes and hangs out with his friend from the band. He's like, we need to get the band back together, and... Like, if WWE was writing or booking Breaking Bad, that would be what the show was about, was a former addict getting his band back together, rather than the interesting thing they have with Walter White.
So. The only thing I know of Breaking Bad so far is the guy killing the guy with acid and going through the floor and pizza throwing. That's the only thing I know.
You are early in it.
I just started watching. Holy literally just crap, started watching. I'm more into House of Cards. I just finished season 4 of House of Cards, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, that is.
You're in the Christian I'm Still in the Brood days of that show.
Yeah.
As far as being up to date with current pop culture, I am the Brood.
Steve Austin is still the ringmaster at this point.
Guys, have you heard of this guy called the Master of Pain? I really want... I don't know if he's going to make it, guys.
Hey, you know, I heard the Shockmaster is going to be awesome.
Sting will never go to WWE.
The Shockmaster sounds like a sex position. Can we just point that out? Holy shit. Was there a bigger entrance, like, a first appearance?
A bigger botch in history?
Yeah.
Not even entrance botch, just botch in general.
I mean, I'm sure there's a Sin Cara highlight reel, but still. OG Sin Cara, I should say. The Austin era was great. Like, going back to, like, what got you into wrestling, I've had waves as a kid, like, throughout the years with wrestling, like, where my interest kind of peaked and valleyed. So, like, there was the initial, like, the 80s. I was a kid who was a Hogan fan.
Who wasn't a Hulkamaniac
most
fan?
Most of us were.
Who wasn't a Hogan fan?
Oddly enough, though, there were some, like, heels.
Some people love him for his racial preferences now, but.
KP.
Yeah, he destroyed Gawker, man. What more can you. You thought the guy was done. You thought he couldn't do anything more for you, and he takes down Gawker.
Out of all the victories he had in his career, that is my favorite victory of
all. Out of all the opponents he buried by no selling, Gawker is their back. But I was also like a fan of Ted DiBiase back in the 80s and like a Piper.
Oh, Roddy Piper, one of the greatest heels ever.
Yeah, clearly.
So I think I would say Roddy Piper is the most original modern heel. He's the first modern heel, because back then it was like, oh, I'm the bad guy, I'm gonna beat you, blah blah blah, and you suck. Piper broke barriers as far as heels go. He went after anybody, no matter how personal he wanted to get. He was not only that, he was amazing on the microphone too. He didn't give a shit.
He made a build for a Hollywood backlot brawl with Goldust interesting.
That's I can't talk about the 80s stuff with you guys, man. I came in 96. I'm so dumb with pro wrestling that I found out, like, oh, what do you mean the guy from...
Great thing to say on a wrestling show.
The guy from Thunder in Paradise is also a wrestler? What do you guys mean?
They,
Thunderlips wrestles for real?
Oh, man.
Slim Jim commercial guy is real.
But, like, so that was, and then I kind of, like, I watched, but I wasn't as into it, like, in the early 90s. And then, like, Austin and the NWO brought it back for me, like, big time. I was, unpopular opinion, I was also a big Ken Shamrock fan, like, his time
I loved Ken Shamrock.
Like, some people...
He was a. It was so weird. I've been rewatching him on the WWE Network for $9.99.
Wow, we're not even sponsored. You give away that?
No, I canceled my subscription recently. So,
relax, well, if you sign up again, if you sign up now, you can watch WrestleMania for free. I mean, I've been a paid subscriber for over a year now, and I don't get any perks.
Yeah, hey, you know what? Hey, if they'll give away Sami Zayn pin and Kevin Owens for free, might as well.
That's what he's going for, man. I was rewatching everything, and Shamrock's literally doing the same stuff on the same show that Austin is getting cheered for. Shamrock's doing the same stuff, and they're booing the crap out of him. Shamrock's like, I'm going to kick your ass, and people are just booing him because that's how much heat the corporation had.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Shamrock, to me, was the cool heel. Of the you know, I always liked him.
And he was also, like, all of the wrestlers you could see, you were like, okay, he looks tough, but I think I could take him in a fight. Ken Shamrock, I looked at him, I was like, that guy would murder me. Like, yeah. If I ever, like, tried to pick a fight with him, he would murder me.
Because he's in the zone, all right? And he punches himself in the head.
That's, I used to listen to his theme music because I wrestled in high school. I used to listen to his theme music while I was putting my sexy little singlet on.
Still real to me, damn it. It's true, it's true. For me, my first wrestling experience, I always grew up watching Hulk Hogan, and then I got a little bit bored with Hulkamania. And then in 1990, I saw The Undertaker for the first time, and I was like... And I saw him come from underneath the ring and pull Bret Hart underneath under the ring. And I was like, this guy's absolutely terrifying. I love him. I love his character. There's something about this character that I love. Even though it's over the top and cheesy as far as I understood, like, okay, he's playing a dead guy, but he's clearly not really dead or whatever. Like, I get it. But the mystical appearance, like, his character, everything about Taker, I just loved. And I've been watching ever since.
You know, since that moment. Like, I've got certain favorite moments, like, of the three eras that I've been into. So, like, the 80s, my favorite moment was, what do I remember from back in the day? I remember, like, going to an event, like a Survivor Series event back in the 80s. So that was, like, a big one for me. But then, like, in the 90s, the oh shit moment in WWE, when the Steve Austin Bret Hart feud was, like, going full force, and, like, they were starting to do the seeds for the double turn, and just Bret Hart just got, like, get frustrated. He goes, this is bullshit. Like,
Austin 316 says, they just whipped your ass. Like, that revolutionized the entire game. I think was a catalyst for the Attitude Era.
Yeah, those two moments were the catalyst for the Attitude Era. And then in the 2010s, the Pipe Bomb promo.
Yeah, I fell out of it for a while.
That hooked a lot of people back into WWE.
Pipe Bomb brought me back in. I hadn't watched... I have no idea that Ted DiBiase Jr. was a thing.
Yeah.
I barely knew about the... what was the Wade Barrett faction that was big?
Nexus?
Didn't know anything about them. I left right when they gave the title to Edge after they robbed RVD because he got busted for drugs.
Yeah.
I was like, you finally give Rob Van Dam his championship and he's just going to lose it on a Monday Night Raw in a triple threat and never challenge again.
Well, because he screwed up. They were just basically like, we're going to give you this opportunity. We didn't want to give you the opportunity. You were so popular, we gave it to you, and you do this. Like, that was what they were saying to him.
Oh, you mean
like
they just found out Rob Van Dam smokes weed?
Yeah.
They just found it out.
I don't know if it was the pot. It was more him getting arrested for it.
We finally throw you a bone and you do this to us. All right, we're going to bury you and you're going to be laughable.
And then you're going to come back a few years later and put over people that we job a few months later.
That hurts.
It hurts me.
With WrestleMania being this Sunday, I want to talk about, just real quick before we head to break here, what are your personal favorite WrestleMania moments? Like, are there like one or two moments that really stand out for you?
Oh, wow.
We're coming up on 32 WrestleManias. Right.
I'm going to give
there's going to be moments this Sunday that we'll never forget. But 31 previous shows, there has to be at least one or two moments that will never leave your mind or leave your memory.
There's three that I have. Two of which are more recent, and I think that's why they're more in my memory now, and like I have a bias for these two moments. But the top moment for me is when Austin won the title for the first time.
WrestleMania 14.
Yeah, that was a huge one. But then, like, more recent memories, like, more recent big ones for me, Cesaro winning the Andre Battle Royal. Was a granted a squandered one.
In case you couldn't tell from Mike's shirt, he loves Cesaro.
Seth Rollins cashing in Money in the Bank, though, is like the best of the modern era. Best moment.
As far as like booked main events, that's probably one of the best booked main events I've ever seen.
The most unforgettable moment of this decade was Brock Lesnar breaking the streak.
I think as far as shocking moments, Montreal Screwjob. And
that wasn't WrestleMania, though.
I'm just talking like shocking moments in wrestling WWE history. If we're even like branch off and just mention that for a second, you have the Montreal Screwjob and you have Taker streak ending. Those are two things no one ever saw coming.
Yeah, nobody.
And as far as WrestleMania moments go, like that for me is right up there too.
Yeah.
I would say
the Austin Rock double turn when Austin like joined up with Vince.
At the end of WrestleMania 17, I think,
I quit watching for 2 years after that. That's how much I hated his heel turn.
But it led to some great stuff, though, especially with him and Angle, like, competing for Vince's affection.
I want you to say that sentence again. And then just, JR said it the best. He had that one quote when he talked about it. He goes, seeing Stone Cold Steve Austin try to play the heel and it being like a sensitive wussy was like watching a movie where John Wayne's fighting for the Nazis. It's just not right. It didn't feel right. It was bad.
But Kurt Angle made that, though. Like that.
And to me, Angle, if I had to pick my WrestleMania ones, Angle versus HBK, I still think that's the masterpiece match of those two guys for me.
I think that feud was one where the build-up involved Angle like doing his rendition of HBK's theme.
Well, yeah, but the whole build was just over who's better. So that to me became the drive.
Yeah, it wasn't anything like no cheesy title. Scripted. It was just who is the better one in the ring. Yep. I love that. I love those type of feuds.
I had goosebumps going on. They had that really cool run-in with it was one of the best like just when you think you've kind of figured out all their tricks. There was like I think a stupid SmackDown episode or something where Angle's in the ring cutting a promo right before Mania, and you realize that the cameraman's actually HBK. So he just throws the camera off and the hat off and his wig and just super kicks him. I mean, that was a great build. I loved, as a guy who always played in the video games as Benoit because I thought he had the best moves. That was when he won the title. I was happy. Him and Guerrero hugging.
Chris Benoit is
now. That was a big moment.
Chris Benoit is WWE's Voldemort. Like, he who shall not be named, and he's not allowed to
be. For good reason.
For a very good reason. Yeah.
But the one thing that always got me was when they had, what was it, WrestleMania? It was 15. And it was when Austin beat The Rock. You just realize, like, holy shit, that literally it means an entire year Vince McMahon has been trying to ruin this guy's life. And he beat him. Yeah, that was a great story. That was to me, that was the great conclusion of that rivalry.
Not to mention, like, I think WrestleMania 15 was, after watching that main event alone, you're like, WWE is totally going to win the Monday Night Wars. Like, there's no way WCW is ever going to come back from that. Because you had, at that time, the two biggest stars in the business going head-to-head at WrestleMania.
The biggest heels getting responses that WCW faces aren't getting.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was cool stuff.
Still not as much heat as Roman Reigns is getting. But I would say my top three, like just wow. I don't know if you call it marking out moments, but like images that will never leave my memory for WrestleMania. Definitely Undertaker streak ending is probably number one, and it's like, never going to be beaten. I would say Hogan and The Rock just facing each other, just turning to the crowds, just soaking in the moment, because that was the perfect torch passing match I think anyone could ever imagine. You had Hogan, who is the Babe Ruth of professional wrestling, and The Rock, who is in his prime in his career, could not have had a bigger moment than that. And I'm almost willing to say, keep it most recent, I would say Daniel Bryan winning the title at WrestleMania 30. I mean, I know we mentioned WrestleMania 30 a lot, but people, like, I don't think people realize just how significant and amazing WrestleMania 30 was. It's one of the best WrestleManias of all time.
That was the best, like, Daniel Bryan's moment was the best build to that moment. Who knows, and the funny thing is, CM Punk quitting led to the booking of that card. Because Punk was supposed to face Triple H.
Thank you, CM Punk.
Right? Like, and then Bryan was supposed to get stuffed in a match with Sheamus.
Well, thank you for CM Punk quitting.
Yeah.
But if I were to go like classic moments that you know, Hogan body slamming the Giant. I mean, that image and that commentary will never ever leave the production reel of WWE programming. Whenever they talk about WrestleMania, they always show that clip. And I think that moment, just the fact that, you know, no one could body slam the Giant. Everyone has tried. Everyone has failed. Hogan even failed. And then he comes in at WrestleMania and just slams him.
Yep. Like, that was a huge
That was one of the biggest moments in WrestleMania history. I mean, you look back at it now as a new fan and you're like, what does this mean? But if you watched it back then, like, that was that generation's, like, Taker streak ending as far as, like, shocking, like, wow, I can't believe this really just happened moment. So, yeah, I think Hogan body slamming the Giant would be one of my all-time favorite WrestleMania moments, even though I'm not the biggest Hogan fan. But on that note, we are going to take a break, and we're going to keep playing Killswitch Engage, because I'm really digging this album. Thank you, Mike. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the big show coming up this Sunday, WrestleMania 32. No, we're not going to talk about that big show. We're going to talk about the actual show that people give a crap about. We'll be right back right after this.
Talking about all things professional wrestling. It's Brains Through Wrestling.
Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or two-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com. Are you too broke to go to the movies, yet want to go anyway? No problem. Just go to www.dealflix.com and use the promo code MLR to get 10% off your ticket purchase. Some movie theaters charge between $11 and $18 per ticket. Don't be stupid and pay that much. Just go to dealflix.com using the promo code MLR and you'll get 10% off your ticket purchase. Again, that's dealflix.com, promo code MLR. Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brainstew Media. Based out of northern New Jersey, Brainstew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brainstew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to brainstewmedia.com today. Best radio on the internet is only one click away at morelikeradio.com. More Like Radio has the best live internet radio you can ask for. Interactive chat room, social media interaction, free podcast downloads, and above all else, quality programming to keep you entertained all day. Check out morelikeradio.com and subscribe on iTunes.
Welcome back to Brains Through Wrestling, everybody. The number to call is 908-854-4228. We're back after this break. We are going to now talk about the WrestleMania kickoff show that everybody's excited about, right, guys?
Yay. Pre-game show.
So, let's...
KP's face just says it all.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching ESPN until it's kickoff time.
So, I want... The first match, I'm guessing this is the order of the kickoff. Hopefully this match isn't the first one, because it's got the best wrestler of all the people competing. Well, I don't know about that, but Kalisto versus Ryback.
Finally. You all wanted to see it. Here it is, you guys.
You all wanted to see a Ryback match. Here we go.
Yeah, feed me more, guys. Right? No. No.
Feed me more pizza at the concession stand while like, I sleep, while I don't
just
watch
enjoy
this.
Kalisto while he's still here before we make America great again, you guys.
All right. But Kalisto
is gone. Del Rio's gone.
Kalisto was born in the U.S., though, KP Trump.
He don't look right.
No. It's
he don't look right. He says.
It's not Donald Trump. It's Zeb Coulter.
Yeah. Yeah, KP Coulter. Relax. Getting your scooter.
Zed Burke.
I'm 90% sure that Kalisto is actually Marco Rubio.
They're like, if you drop out, we'll give you the U.S. title. Because apparently, wearing the Sin Cara mask gets people injured, and that gives Kalisto the U.S. title. But
oh, it's Sin Cara? I've been calling him Shane Cara for the last 4 years. I thought that was Shane McMahon.
No, it's
the whole
Shane O'Mac. So, yeah, they're. Like, this is one of those feuds where they're like, we've got to have a U.S. title match in the card. But they really didn't give enough of a shit to, like, give it a proper build. They just had Ryback going, I'm going to be the big guy being the bully to the little guy's gimmick again. Like, that's pretty much
so Ryback.
Yeah. And so he'll probably botch a few moves, and then Kalisto will get injured, and they'll have to get the U.S. title off him.
Ooh, if they wanted to be smart, would it be interesting to have John Cena come out after Ryback wins and holds up the U.S. title?
That could be.
That I would not be furious to see now, John Cena at that point.
No, yeah. Ryback, so bad, it makes KP long for the days of John Cena.
No, I'll never say that. I'm still a pretty adamant Cena hater. I don't know if you guys are, but he's ruined a lot of things for me over the years.
He ruined the pushes of a lot of people, but I must say his...
Not his fault, though.
I must say his U.S. title open challenge segments he's been doing on Monday Night Raw when he had the title were fantastic.
But you mean you like when the whole middle part of the roster all had to job out to him?
But
hey, there's a lot of finishers I haven't kicked out of yet, guys. I'm sorry. I'm being a dick.
They had great matches. I'll give them that.
True, absolutely.
Here's the thing, though. Like, the U.S. title, like, it was so much more important in WWE's eyes a year ago. Like, it was one of the the main matches on the card. Last year.
Now it's just back to
now it's fucking
mediocrity.
Pre-show.
And it's not even for the title.
Yeah. It's not?
No, it's not even for the title.
Wait, what?
What? It's the title's not on the line.
That's like having a Survivor Series match without a Survivor Series card without a Survivor Series match.
It's not a lot
like having a, you know, the US champion fight at a main event pay-per-view and, you know, titles now.
Okay, so Ryback will then probably win because it's a non-title match, and then at the next event, which is just WrestleMania rematches, it'll be for the title, and Kalisto wins, I'm guessing. So we'll skip that match because, I mean, let's face it, it's a Vince guy versus a Triple H guy.
Right.
This will be one of the ones where the Triple H guy, the Vince guy wins, because they keep trying to give Ryback second and third chances. And he just keeps screwing up. He either gets hurt or he just doesn't go over well.
I think they did him a big disservice with the CM Punk title matches. I think that really hurt him because he wasn't strong enough to grab the title. That wouldn't have made any sense there. He wouldn't have, you know, he would.
So he was jobbing. So
yeah, you had to job. That was the right thing to do. But at the same time, it hurt him so bad. But you know, I couldn't get over it.
Yeah. So next one, we got the. 1, 2, 3, 4. The 10 Diva tag match.
Oh, boy.
The Total Divas cast members, Ava Marie, who they're trying to convince us is a face at this point.
Yeah, I did. By the way, one last thing. I wanted to look up and just confirm, but because I did read that it wasn't for the U.S. Championship. I just confirmed it is not for the U.S. Championship.
Why?
It's just a singles match.
So, anyway. Ava Marie, Brie Bella, Paige, Natalya, and Alicia Fox, which just looks like, screw it, we'll draw names out of a hat at this point, versus Bad and Blonde, I'm guess they're calling them, Lana, Summer Rae, Emma, Naomi, and Tamina. I'm counting, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4.
But Ava Marie, she's a real fan favorite, right? I mean, NXT fans love her.
Less than half of the people in this match know what the fuck they're doing in ring. Like, less than half.
Oh, that was really the photo they're going to use, huh?
Yeah, that's the photo. Of which one?
Oh, for all of them up here. That's
Emma, Natalya, and I would arguably say Brie Bella are the only three that have, like, real ring knowledge.
Brie Bella. And no, Paige. Not Brie.
Yeah, that and Paige. Sorry, I totally missed Paige right there. Yeah, Emma, Natalya, Paige, and Brie Bella are the Brie's only four that have sort of ring talent.
Brie's like the better of the Bella twins, but for the fact that she's married to Daniel Bryan, she's not as good as she should be.
I'm going to be the male pig in the room and just say I don't care about their ability to wrestle in the ring. I'm a male pig that way. It's they're there for me to look at. That's
don't
why
be a
there.
Misogynist, KP.
It's, I'm just a man buying tickets in their key demographic. What do I know? You know, I mean, it's I didn't really care about. Oh, do you think you know Deborah McMichael can shoot threes? I never cared about that stuff. It was always just watching her with her little mini skirt. That honest to God, Deborah McMichael and Terry Reynolds were probably a huge part of my upbringing as a child, my ascent or descent into manhood.
Yo, yeah, that,
yeah. I have a photo of all the divas lined up here. Yeah, as far as if we're just talking strictly on male attractiveness here, like, five star match. If we're going just based on
now,
if we're just all being male pigs and just talking about looks alone, except for Tamina, but okay.
Hey,
you wouldn't want to just, you know, apply oil to her muscles for her, or, you know, just massage her large back.
Listen, Tamina's learned some moves from her dad. She will throw you out of a hotel window. So there's some talking points in this match. First one, do you guys think this is Brie Bella's last match, a la AJ Lee a couple years ago?
I would say yes, this is her last big match. I think she might do one or more Monday Night Raws or something like that. But this is by far her
yeah,
definitely her last WrestleMania for sure.
So I think that team goes over because she'll probably get like the pin or something or the submission since it's going to be her last match. Like for the gift. And then Lana wrestling for the first time. It's going to be a train wreck. Like, reports from the dirt sheets are that they're worried about Lana's participation in this match.
Oh, boy.
Like, did you guys know about her back in the college days?
No.
Yeah.
Well, that's right, because you were in the Navy, right?
Yeah, I lived in Jacksonville, so I got into college football down there, and it was
thank you
FSU.
For your service.
That was good of you, Mr. Ventura. That was great. That's no.
I was a Navy SEAL.
That's actually it bothers me how good of an impression that is.
It's sad thing as it is, isn't a good impression.
So sure? I think he does a good impression of himself. But,
so yeah, that's right. You like because she's from Florida.
Well, she's from Florida. She was one of the FSU cowgirls when we used to watch games down there. It was her. And her and two other chicks would dress in the Daisy Duke outfit. And I'm sorry, I know we're off topic here, so I'll get back to it. But I always thought it was interesting that those girls got on national TV for, you know, college football championship, SEC or whatever. And they got national fame. Lana has turned her name, CJ Perry, whatever her real name is. She's turned it into a WWE contract. The other girl was Jen Sturger, who became a journalist. So between those girls, one is a diva on national television right now every week. And the other one has a photo of Brett Favre's dick that he sent her on his phone. So you never know. You're just showing up to watch a football game. Next thing you know, Brett Favre sending you pictures of his dick. Yeah. But being said, respectfully, I want Lana to ride my face like it's a bicycle seat. sorry, she does something to me.
I'm not going to lie. The when she was the Ravishing Russian in the business outfits, like, we're just strictly speaking attractiveness to females here.
So now
the only kind of immigrants I like, you mean. That's
So now we're going to hear him go into a little bit of a tirade about how he likes the women who dress up like in the business outfits.
I'm not going to go into tirade. I just say I really like women who dress like they're in business, like the business attire, because what's underneath it and it covers up to look professional. I don't know, but that's another conversation for off the air here. Final match for the pre-show, the Usos versus the Dudley Boys.
Yeah. The Dudleys, who I love them as heels because they do just a fantastic job of getting the crowd to hate them.
Oh, the classic heels. They were masters of it in ECW. Oh, they're going to do fantastic with getting heat in the crowd.
Like,
the sad thing is, though, the crowd loves them and doesn't like the Usos.
That's the problem there. But, like, oh, God, Bubba Ray's old ECW promos.
I don't think the Usos did anything wrong either.
They're
Roman Reigns also didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, they're just
booked horribly.
The Usos were super. I thought they were a real hot gimmick for a while.
Sad thing is the Usos can actually wrestle. I like the Usos. I like their matches. Well, I like their gimmick. I love the Usos.
They're fun. They're just fun.
They're just not over with the fans because they're happy-go-lucky baby faces.
I think Cena ruined a lot of that stuff for people. Where Cena's like, I know I lost you guys, but I'm going to come out here and smile the next day. You never saw. And he always had a thing where, like, oh, The Rock just beat me in the biggest match. Let me shake his hand, you guys. Let me. Yeah. Steve Austin's not going to show up the next night. He's so mad he lost. And then, you know, I don't know. There was a thing. There's been a mellowing of.
Yeah. Or, no, one thing Cena does is, hey, you know what? Brock Lesnar just beat me with an inch of my life, but I'm going to get right up afterwards and do a promo.
Yeah, Super Cena ruined a lot of things for a lot of people.
Hey, Phil Brooks was his kryptonite.
That's true.
No wrestler in WWE has a better record against Cena.
And that's the right move. I'm a huge CM Punk fan to this day.
Actually, I don't think Cena's ever beat Daniel Bryan either.
No, I think they just had that one match, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe there was another match.
Also, Lord Tensai had a pretty good record against John Cena. He had that one match. He had one match on Raw where he spit in his face and pinned him, and then they just never brought him on TV ever again.
Because he spit in Cena's face.
Exactly.
All right, so before we transition to the main WrestleMania card, let's switch gears and do... preview the NXT TakeOver Dallas card, because in my opinion, this is going to be, as far as quality matches go, this pay-per-view or this show will wipe its own you-know-what with WrestleMania 32. NXT TakeOver Dallas is going to be so much better top to bottom as far as a quality card goes. Mike, NXT is your thing. What's the first match on the card, and what are you looking forward to?
So we've got Austin Aries versus Baron Corbin. That's going to be an Austin Aries win. That's kind of like his first big match there. They're not like, it's classic wrestling booking. The new arrival is going to get their like big debut win. Austin Aries, one of those like former Ring of Honor guys who have earned it. He had to work for Dixie Carter for as long as he did. He deserves the chance there.
He deserves a win on his first, time in WWE.
So that's gonna he'll get a good match out of stupid Baron Corbin.
Is there a dream match for Austin Aries, like a dream opponent for him?
Like currently on the roster?
Because mine's Too Cold Scorpio for him. Because Scorpios and Aries, they just don't get along, you guys. I'm sorry, I'm gonna kill myself in a garage for making that joke.
Don't do that. Who's gonna seat Friday?
Nice.
All right, so the next match is The Revival, Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder, versus American Alpha, who's probably right now the most over tag team in NXT. Like fans are chanting Gable and Jordan to the tune of Kurt Angle's theme at NXT shows. Like they took two guys who were kind of middling, and they're doing something amazing now with those two. I think this is where they win the titles there. Because The Revival, they're kind of like Blake and Murphy, where they were transitional champions. I think that's the same thing with The Revival. Apollo Crews.
Most interesting thing about them was Alexa Bliss.
Yeah. Let's see. Next match. Apollo Crews versus Elias Samson. I think that'll be a... Apollo Crews.
Impressive debut at TakeOver Brooklyn.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Impressive debut.
I love being at that card. But Apollo Crews, he's going to be a star. Like he's got it in ring. Like he's got the build Vince loves, but he's got the moveset that like the Smarks love. He just got to work on his mic game, and then if he can, he's gonna be just fantastic.
You mean he needs microphone skills, or he needs to impress you more? Because that's my mic game, is trying to get you to respect me as a human.
What'll be the match of the night? One of the two matches of the night.
At least the most memorable.
Actually, the three best matches are going to be the last three. Sami Zayn versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
WWE debut.
That's his NXT debut. I mean, obviously, Sami Zayn's going to lose that match because, again,
it's going to be a five-star match.
And Sami Zayn's already pretty much been promoted to the main roster.
Also, goodbye quality Sami Zayn matches.
Well,
Because we know the record of NXT people going to the main roster. It's not that good what happens with them.
So, no, depends on the wrestler. Like, Kevin Owens is going to be, like, a long-term Intercontinental Champion right now. And he's got to... Like, it depends on the wrestler. Some have been lost in the shuffle. I think Sami Zayn has the mic skills along with the in-ring.
The rivalry with Owens alone would sell pay-per-views.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be their best rivalry this year. It really is.
Not to mention Owens and AJ Styles, too. But, oh.
Yeah. That match will be great. And then Bayley versus Asuka for the NXT Women's Championship is going to be really good. I'm not sure. Like, Asuka might win this one, because what else are they going to do with Bayley if Asuka doesn't win?
I mean, she's basically faced everyone.
Yeah, she really has. And WWE, they've got this thing with her, with Bayley, where they're like, either she's going to be the female John Cena, where it brings like young girl, like young girls, like into the fold to like.
You watch. Follow her Instagram; it's nothing but kids dressing up with her ring attire with the ribbons and everything.
Like so no need to follow, is what you're saying.
And then the title match: Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe, which I'm basically calling this a loser debuts on Raw on Monday match.
Interesting. I like that.
So Finn Balor's going to be debuting on Monday Night Raw.
With Gallows and Anderson.
Oh, that would be great. That would be so great.
So,
he's been teasing a Bullet Club reunion, so it's oh, I can't wait. Very exciting what's going on with NXT.
He has been, and like it's interesting because Balor and Bayley are going to be probably two of the hot, high-profile ones from NXT being called up soon. And also, like, Enzo and Cass might get called up soon, too. And then Carmella along for the ride with that.
Didn't they debut with the...
Well, no, that doesn't count. It's like a house show that they brought NXT matches on that they televised. It's kind of like when they did the NXT title match in the Japan show.
I thought it was Roadblock. Didn't they do...
Yeah, no, they did the match in Roadblock. It was an NXT tag title match.
Oh, okay. I didn't watch Roadblock. I'd already canceled the network at that point.
So... Like, but yeah, they're due to go up into the main roster soon, as with any like singles champion there. Rumors are like Balor kind of wants to stay in NXT a little longer because, let's face it, the writing in Raw and SmackDown is a shit show. But apparently they just promoted the head writer for NXT up to SmackDown. So again, SmackDown might become...
So
like,
I'll never see him again.
Never again. there's a question here on the prep. Triple H's job in NXT, would you guys consider that better than Vince's job with the main roster? I'm going to say that's an emphatic yes.
Yeah, Triple H's job with NXT has been hands down better than the way Vince has handled the main roster. Vince has been, I was always one to defend Vince McMahon just because of what he's accomplished. But even now, I've reached my breaking point with how superstars who should be main eventing and the booking wise, I'm like, for God's sake, Vince, let someone else do this. You have nothing else to prove anymore. Let someone else take over. Let Triple H take over, because what he's doing with NXT is eons better than what you're doing with Monday Night Raw. It's by far a better product, and even hardcore, like, quote-unquote real fans who don't watch WWE because it's too commercialized for them, who only watch Ring of Honor, stuff like that, even they're saying NXT is a phenomenal product to watch.
Yeah, it's, like, such a good product to watch.
When you get hardcore Ring of Honor and indie fans to say NXT is a great product, Vince, listen to the fans. Get NXT. Get Triple H to run the show the way he's been running NXT.
And some of the signings they've been having, like guys who their followings are coming with them. Like Kevin Owens, his merchandise regularly sells really well. Like, and you can tell because now there's like 20 different Kevin Owens shirts on their shop site.
So what do you think will be the big surprise from the NXT show before we move on to the main card of WrestleMania 32?
Honestly, like I think the big shocker is going to be Samoa Joe wins the title.
I kind of want to see Samoa Joe on Monday Night Raw though. Seeing Samoa Joe in NXT put on great matches with people, like in it, even in his old for wrestlers, but in even in his old veteran state, he could still put on 5-star matches with people. So, I mean, in one way, I want to see him on Monday Night Raw, go up against Cena and all the big times on Raw. But at the same time, I love his matches in NXT. So I'm kind of leaning towards I want Samoa Joe to win the title.
Yeah, I think that'd be cool. Samoa Joe's NXT champion for a while. But then I'm like, let's get him on the main roster so he can face Brock Lesnar at some point.
And eventually drop to Cena. Which is what all big NXT people do.
Except for, well, no, Kevin Owens beat him clean, though, in his first match. I don't care what happened.
Yeah, and then lost the feud.
I don't care what happened the rest of that feud. How many people have pinned Cena clean?
I can count on less than five fingers, yeah, people who I know beat Cena clean.
The most recent person to beat him clean was Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam a few years ago.
I mean, he didn't even beat Triple H. Like, Triple H has even beaten him clean. Yeah. Okay, moving on to the main card of WrestleMania 32, and we're going to start with the New Day versus the League of Nations. And I'm just going to say this right off the bat.
Another non-title match.
Yeah, another non-title match, by the way.
Seriously?
Why bother putting the tag team titles on? You're on the main card of WrestleMania 32, and you're not putting the titles on the line, which supposedly the tag team titles are supposed to be the established, you know, big-time title in WWE, not being defended at the biggest show of the year. I don't know why. It's confusing. I think it's really dumb, but all I know is the New Day are going to have a grand entrance, because if you take anything away from watching Monday Night Raw, the New Day is the greatest thing going on right now. There's nothing better than the New Day. The New Day does indeed rock. I love them. I love the New Day. They're the greatest thing ever. So just to prove that, I have a clip from Monday Night Raw. From the New Day, and let's just enjoy some New Day greatness.
By the way, I love how all out they've gone with the gimmick, like the Bootio cereal box, the unicorn horn things.
Oh, I love it. They took a really bad gimmick and made it their own.
Made it amazing,
because
yeah.
The New Day, so if those of you with short-term memories, the New Day originally started out as a really bad Nation of Domination wannabe stable. Yeah.
And then they
were supposed to be like a reboot of the Nation of Domination, and then they just turned it into their own thing.
No, they weren't even. No, they were starting it as a Nation of Domination type heat stable, and then they did the let's be positive like choir, like chorus type.
Yeah, they still do that though,
but now they do it as heel, like in the heel way or the snarky way.
But now they're getting over big time with the fans, and
having fun.
This was from Monday Night Raw this past Monday, in Barclays Center in Brooklyn, which, if anyone knows, like, if you want to find a very smarky, sarcastic crowd, you go to New York, Philadelphia, and Chicago. Those are the three big smarky cities, and this crowd just ate up the New Day. Listen for yourself.
And if you haven't heard, the official cereal for WrestleMania is Booty. Oh! Keep that box. Keep it.
Loud, loud Bootio chants from the Barclay crowd.
So, if you haven't gotten your box of Bootios yet, what are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for? Yeah. Hey, you know who will never, ever have their own cereal?
Who? 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 The League of Nations. I mean, think about it. Who in their right mind would ever consume a bowl of Rusev's Bulgarian booty flakes?
Oh. He still holds a trombone there and uses the trombone.
What does the tagline mean? They're gross. That's disgusting.
That is.
Disgusting. 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 Nasty.
They get it. They get it. They get it.
And in the words of the late, great Fife Dog,
oh, that's Fife Dog.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Yo.
Hold it down, hold it down. Second breath.
If the league were food, I'd throw it up in a box. But we're the best, like New York pizza. Because New Day rocks.
New Day rocks. New Day rocks.
how over is the New Day? They are comically over with the fans, and they're supposed to be heels. And as you could tell from that crowd in the Barclays Center, the fans absolutely love the New Day.
Oh, they're like eating it up. I think once they did that double turn with them and Cesaro and Kid, like Cesaro and Kid were still popular, but New Day started coming into their own as heels.
The next match on the card, I'm just going by an order that's listed on WWE.com. Third annual Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, a.k.a. the list of people who, yeah, we really don't have anything for you match. This is what that match is.
This is, hey, let's get the entire roster on the card.
So let's see. I'm just going to name off the list of real stars that are in this match here. Heath Slater.
Finally.
Curtis Axel.
Of course.
Adam Rose.
Nice.
Bo Dallas.
Nothing.
But you need to believe. The Big Show. Kane. Tyler Breeze. Mark Henry. Jack Swagger. Fandango. Damian Sandow. Darren Young. Connor. Victor. Goldust. And R-Truth.
Holy crap.
So you can see that's a really stacked card right there. That's a really stacked match.
Oh. God, that's not...
You know, R-Truth, honestly, you got to say it. He's been wrestling forever.
Phenomenal shape.
Yeah, you can't tell how old he is until he uses one of his corny stock jokes. You're like, oh, yeah, you were alive in the 60s, weren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I keep forgetting. Lotion.
So, there can be one prop bet for the Battle Royal, and that's who is Jack Swagger going to injure? Like... Oh, God, there's, like, who...
It's funny because he really does injure a lot of people.
Like, unless there's somebody brought in who, like, has a, like, deserves to win it, who's gonna win it? Like, Big Show already won last year. They're not gonna give it to Kane. It's on the... I feel like it's on the main card, so they're gonna give it to somebody they're trying to elevate up. I just don't know who that's gonna be yet. Because, like... Right now, it's just mostly jobbers and people who've been there for, like, 20 years.
I can already tell we're going to go over the hour time limit we have here. So we're gonna break at 11 o'clock, and then we're going to finish off the rest of these predictions and previous WrestleMania 32. The next match is a.k.a. the IWC Wet Dream Match, AJ Styles versus Chris Jericho.
You mean the a.k.a. anybody with a pair of eyes Wet Dream Match?
Yes. I think they're both handsome gentlemen, too, Michael. All right? But I prefer AJ with shorter hair and Chris Jericho with longer.
I think Kevin Owens had a great line about AJ Styles having like the same haircut his aunt has. But again, like they've had some great matches in the feud. I mean, I don't know, like this should have been Owens versus AJ Styles.
Well, isn't the IWC wet dream really just to no longer have wet dreams?
Yeah, that's your point.
That's
also
mine.
No more John Cena and Roman Reigns.
That yeah. I just want to stop coming in my sheets. That's all I'm saying, guys.
The world without a John Cena or Roman Reigns is the IWC like pipe dream.
The build to this was Jericho and Styles had a great couple of matches. Then it became a tag team. Y2AJ had some pretty great matches as a tag team. And then Jericho betrayed Styles, and now we led to this match. Yeah. I think this is going to be at least one of the show stealers at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait.
Because they're going to be given a lot more time than the previous
matches. Jericho could still work at a top level. He could still put people over. And I think AJ Styles just soaking in the fact this is his first WrestleMania, and it's probably going to be in the biggest crowd WWE has ever seen. It could be huge for AJ Styles.
I picture getting at least 20 minutes because this year's WrestleMania is the length of a special edition of a Lord of the Rings movie.
edition of nothing but walking.
Yeah. Fans walking in disgust if Roman Reigns wins the main event.
Yes.
I feel like they're two consummate performers who will pull out all the stops because it's WrestleMania. So, like, that's the one to be excited for. The next one, though, has some potential, mostly because of the moments that'll be there, but the IC title match, it's...
Ladder match.
Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn, which they should have just stopped right there, but versus Dolph Ziggler, versus Zack Ryder, versus Sin Cara, versus The Miz, versus Stardust.
The sad thing is all seven of these people can work great in ladder matches, I think.
Yeah, but
Zack Ryder is going to be there to take bumps from people. Yeah. Stardust, aka Cody Rhodes, is going to be there, and we all know he can go. Sin Cara can definitely take some high can take some bumps. Sami Zayn, come on, no explanation needed.
Just look for I just hope that we have a segment or a couple minutes where like Sin Cara, Miz, Ziggler, Stardust, and Ryder are all incapacitated, and we just get
Owens and Zayn for a few minutes.
Yeah, just get them doing a ladder match. For those who have not seen the El Generico Kevin Steen ladder matches back in the day in Ring of Honor, which feels weird to say back in the day to that, but still, like, you're missing out on magic.
Back in my day in Ring of Honor. Sonny boy.
That was awkward.
Yeah. I think this match, if I were to pick a match to steal the show, I think this one's it for me.
Yeah, this one. There's a lot of guys who can do really good bumps.
And speaking of Kevin Owens, you sent me some audio of Kevin Owens at the, I would say, is this from this past Monday Raw?
Yeah, it was, because there was like a 3-man tag and the crowd was getting bored with it.
Right, and the crowd was doing the wave because God knows you can never let smarky wrestling fans have any enjoyment. So,
by the way, if anybody wants to call in, 908-854-4228.
Here's Kevin Owens getting the crowd to stop with a wave.
If one more person raises their hands up, I will fight each and every one of you.
The fans just cheered for him and raised their hands.
And everyone does the wave.
No, nobody did the wave. He shut down the wave.
Oh, that's great. I love Kevin Owens so much.
Oh, man. He found a way to make a snarky Brooklyn crowd not do the wave in a match they weren't approving of.
All right. So we're gonna take a break here. But don't go anywhere. We will be right back with the closing of Brain Stew Wrestling. We will be right back after a few words from the sponsors that I totally made the commercial for. 908-854-4228. If you're listening to us on the More Like Radio replay, just download the podcast. We're going to go a little bit longer here. This is Brain Stew Wrestling. We will be right back right after this.
Talking about all things professional wrestling. It's Brain Stew Wrestling.
The best radio on the internet is only one click away at morelikeradio.com. More Like Radio has the best live internet radio you can ask for. Interactive chat room, social media interaction, free podcast downloads, and above all else, quality programming to keep you entertained all day. Check out morelikeradio.com and subscribe on iTunes.
Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brain Stew Media. Based out of northern New Jersey, Brain Stew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brain Stew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to brainstewmedia.com today.
Are you too broke to go to the movies, yet want to go anyway? No problem. Just go to www.dealflix.com and use the promo code MLR to get 10% off your ticket purchase. Some movie theaters charge between $11 and $18 per ticket. Don't be stupid and pay that much. Just go to dealflix.com using the promo code MLR and you'll get 10% off your ticket purchase. Again, that's dealflix.com, promo code MLR.
Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or two-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com.
Talking about all things professional wrestling. It's Brain Stew Wrestling.
Back live, 908-854-4228. That's 908-854-4228. 404-228. Bonus time on Brains 2 Wrestling. First show back, already doing bonus time. You're welcome. So we have three more
matches, by the way.
I did skip. Did I skip a match?
Yeah, the Divas title match.
All right, we have three more matches to preview.
Four.
At WrestleMania 32. Four more? All right.
Three more matches and then a main event shit show.
Wanted to ask, you guys think they're going to start the main show off with the Intercontinental ladder match or no?
They have to.
They will.
They will.
That'll be the match that like gets the crowd pumped up.
That's a tough act to follow, though, man, you know?
Which is why they're going to put it as early as possible. The Divas title match, which word is now it's going to be renamed the women's title.
Yeah, it just broke today. WWE is going to rebrand the Divas division, commission a new women's championship belt. They're going to get rid of the tramp stamp belt.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, it shouldn't look like the lower back tattoo of girls my age made bad party decisions. Like, it shouldn't. Like,
they settled on women's title. I think the other ones was the dumb cunt title. The Gash Championship.
No, that's called the TNA Knockout Championship.
Yeah. And the Dixie Carter Memorial title.
Yeah, they had a minute there.
Where they were like the best women's division wrestling.
Well, I was just going to say, the entrance of the beautiful people for a little while on TNA was better than Cinemax at 2 a.m. That was better.
I will not lie. I will not disagree with that.
What were their names? It was Velvet Sky. She was...
Say no more.
Yeah, that
Say
had a
no
lot of
more.
My attention.
Velvet Sky.
Isn't Bubba Ray married to that or something?
Oh, I have no idea.
I thought I heard a rumor somewhere about that.
I'm not sure.
I mean, I could look it up.
That'd be worth... You know, don't Google or image Velvet Sky, otherwise I'm not going to talk for the next 2.5 minutes.
While he's looking that up, I'll talk about the match. It's the Divas Championship, soon to be renamed Women's Championship. Charlotte defending against Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch. It's basically going back to the NXT days, where maybe this time they'll actually get the time to have a great, good match like they did in NXT. But like one thing that you can notice is that since her like title run on the main roster, Charlotte's kind of been exposed going against weaker competition.
I do. Bubba Ray Dudley, a.k.a. Mark LaMonaco, not married.
Does it say anything on his personal life, though?
No, it did not say anything.
Weird. Yeah, I thought there was something there that he had Velvet Sky going.
Yeah. So, by the way, this
they've had a fling.
Yeah. This match, the Divas title match, is the potential for one of the big celebrity appearances because Sasha Banks' cousin is Snoop Dogg.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like
first cousin, like they are literally
legitimately cousins.
Yes.
Like they're actually talking about Snoop Dogg coming out as part of her entrance.
Why not? Take advantage of that.
Yeah, take advantage of that. That's huge. That should have been honestly, like with her character, that should have been part of her promos like from the get go.
That's I'll be making an appearance during that match as well. In the kitchen to get more beer, maybe possibly a sandwich. I haven't decided what we're doing.
The sad thing is, if this were NXT Women's Championship and it was the three of them, it would be a phenomenal match.
It would be the best match on the card.
It'd be the best match on the card, yes. But sadly, it's give the Divas more than 10 minutes for Christ's sake.
Yeah, they're gonna fuck up that match. Not the wrestlers in the match, but the booking of that match.
Would you say, Mike, that the reason why they are the Give Divas a Chance movement took place is not because of the talent themselves, unless you're the Bell Twins. It's not the talent themselves. It's the fact that they got less than 5 minutes a match on
yeah.
Raw.
Yeah. Well, the talent, too, initially, but, like, you mean why it failed? They're trying to push
the Divas. Give the Divas more than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Just let this match at least have 10 minutes.
Cena, too. I blame Cena for this.
I have to blame Cena.
You know, because he was so bad in so many main events for so long that now women start thinking they can do this shit too.
It's,
you know?
KP Burke's going to make WWE great again.
That's
KP Trump over here.
It's true.
He's already pulling up his hand size.
This is my dick's huge.
Next match on the card, which I think if the ladder match
of the main matches will be the higher profile matches, this will be the best match of the.
I think if the ladder match doesn't steal the show, this one will. Dean Ambrose, Brock Lesnar, no holds barred street fight.
This is going to be Dean Ambrose's WrestleMania 13 moment.
Absolutely,
This is going to be the match.
where he goes insanely over with the fans. Yeah. Even if Lesnar destroys him, he refuses to give up.
Yeah, this time next year, we'll probably have a triple threat with the Shield members that Ambrose wins in the main event.
I mean, I've been teasing a lot the whole night. Obviously, I'm just, you know, joking about the majority of stuff, but this one's the one that gives me the goosebumps on my forearm, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm a big, big Dean Ambrose guy. I absolutely, anytime Lesnar's on TV, I'm captivated. So now you've literally put those two things in the room together, and you got, you got the David vs. Goliath story, you got the one way to beat a giant is maybe bring some weapons in or something. You got a chance here.
Brock Lesnar, the indestructible monster.
Right.
Dean Ambrose, the guy who will never give up and never surrender, and will not stop until you have to kill him.
And the true workhorse for the last year. He's been a true workhorse. If there's a moment where he's in control of the match, they better pan out because that place is going to be going absolutely nuts right before he hits him with the barbed wire. So if he's got any time that Lesnar is going to be incapacitated or in danger,
the crowd's going to blow up.
This one's the main event, man. I feel bad for whoever follows it.
And not to mention you have Paul Heyman on the side too. So he's going to narrate this entire thing. He knows where the ring mic is. He's going to instigate everything.
The build for this has been in the spots on Raw leading up to WrestleMania. The Raw's leading up to WrestleMania that like the world. The main event typically gets.
Except for the stupid one last week. This past Monday, I should say. I liked it. It served its purpose, but they were really trying to do salvage work on the actual main event.
Yeah. But. Like the segment for this match should have ended Raw this past week. Like that. Like the best segments were for the build for WrestleMania so far have been Ambrose, Lesnar, and the match we're about to talk about.
The match that I personally am looking forward to the most, just because I am an admitted mark for this guy, Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker, Hell in a Cell. Many rumors are saying this is Undertaker's last hurrah, but again, more rumors are saying, I think it's all but confirmed, I think it is confirmed that he is wrestling in the UK tours or Europe tours after WrestleMania, so he's not retiring,
but...
But this is probably his last WrestleMania ever. It's in front of the biggest crowd he'll ever wrestle in. It's in his home state of Texas.
The only thing is, Death Valley
is in Texas.
Way to stick with kayfabe.
What are you doing?
Way to stick with kayfabe. I love it.
Next thing you're gonna tell me is Truth or Consequences in Long Island.
No, that's parts unknown. Come on, guy. That's it. There was a story, I don't know if you heard it. I know you're a huge Undertaker fan, so I figured you'd appreciate this if you didn't hear it already, that he was offered, when he was young, huge money or something like that to do, it was a contract to play basketball overseas. It was going to be this huge contract or something, and he turned it down because he wasn't, he knew from that age he wanted to be doing pro wrestling. So he completely turned it down. And they told him, like, oh, we think you're crazy, you're a nut job. And here he is, arguably the biggest name in the friggin' industry.
Yeah. Ever. Arguably ever. That's,
yeah, I mean, you got
like,
your
like, he's Hulk Hogan level.
Like, he's made, like...
There's five, maybe. Five of them.
He'll be a Hall of Famer next year.
Or whenever he retires. Or he may never want to be retired. Or he may never want to be in the Hall of Fame, because he's so old school with kayfabe and keeping kayfabe real. Like, when Paul Bearer died, and he came out... with the smoke, the gun, and the gear and everything, and held up the urn to pay tribute to Paul Bearer. Like, he didn't come out in a suit as Mark Calloway. He came out as The Undertaker. So, I don't think he ever will be enshrined in the Hall of Fame.
He could come out in character, though, and do a speech.
I hope his Hall of Fame entrance is Rolling by Limp Bizkit. That's
Fred Durst says a cappella. No, better. They do an acoustic.
Yeah, it's Kid Rock and Fred Durst combined to do. That's what I like, though, is that The Undertaker, as amazing as he is still just like me, where we had an embarrassing Limp Bizkit phase. It's just brought us closer together, I thought.
We all had the same haircut as The Undertaker back then, too.
Did you?
No.
Oh, man. I was going to say, dude, you with long hair would be something.
No, like the short hair, like when you had the spike haircut. With the Limp Bizkit song.
So I want to play this for a second. This was this past Monday Night Raw.
Holy shit, he looks younger than a few weeks ago when he came back.
Yeah, dude, a couple people took some screen grabs of Monday Night Raw. Shane McMahon has got abs. Like, he's got, he's washboard, like.
The kind you just want to bury your face in.
Absolutely. But I think this segment right here, Shane McMahon and The Undertaker sold their one match at WrestleMania better than any other match on the card, aside from Ambrose-Lesnar. So here we go. Here's their confrontation on Monday Night Raw this past week.
You need to watch your mouth, rich boy. You don't get to talk about my legacy. Let me take you back to WrestleMania 2 years ago. Your legacy died.
Oh, shit.
Undertaker looks like Bono at this point. Like, I'm expecting to talk about, like, third world countries now.
Can anyone else, like, will anyone else agree to me? Like, Taker now looks in so much better shape than he did at WrestleMania 30. He must have taken, like, had the same procedure that Wolverine had. Like, he's Wolverine. He just doesn't age.
What is this, mic stand made of Wolverine's bones?
You think it was all of his preparation for Les Miserables? Is that what you're saying the Undertaker did?
You can tell he prepped getting himself in shape and not having a good haircut. Jesus Christ.
So here's the first markout moment from this feud, in my opinion. Shane McMahon does a Shane McMahon classic move, and Brooklyn goes ape shit, let's just say.
My God, Shane, from the top rope! Here goes the WrestleMania match. What the hell are you thinking, Shane? Undertaker has a move. Undertaker's out cold. Shane's on the top rope. Shane's on the top rope.
No! No! Brooklyn just went ape shit.
Shane McMahon is freaking insane. Like, how many, like, rich, like, sons of, like, billionaires or millionaires at the time?
He's middle-aged.
Would do the bumps he did, but now, like, middle-aged, yeah.
This is unbelievable.
Like, how many times did Angle try to throw him through glass that one match?
Also, Undertaker just turned 51 years old.
Yeah.
Let's just...
This is the closest we'll get to the Sting-Taker match.
And I'm marked out too. Like, as Shane's leaving, Taker just sits up and just looks pissed off as usual. Like,
that was the right move. I felt that one was coming. That was they're fixing a lot of stuff. There's a lot of holes in that story, I thought people were pointing out. But it looks like Shane's gonna be able to go, and you're setting it up inside a room that's gonna be full of, you know, it's like a spot heaven, Hell in a Cell.
So the big rumors going on here are there are possible scenarios to the outcome of this match. I don't think this match ends in a clean pinfall.
No.
I just don't.
Well, if Shane wins, it doesn't end in a clean pinfall.
Oh, the stipulation, by the way, if Shane McMahon wins, The Undertaker, this is his last WrestleMania match ever.
And Shane gets control of Raw.
If Taker wins, Shane's just exiled from WWE again.
And he has to give Vince some lockbox with information that, like, incriminates Vince.
So... I would say, again, these are just rumors. Rumors are saying
the Jerry Lawler Diva Hush money check.
Shane McMahon is only back in WWE. Again, this is rumor. Shane is only back in WWE because his kids are old enough now to see him wrestle and want him to wrestle at least one more time.
Yeah. He'll probably
so this is his run for his kids, and then that's it. He's one and done.
What I think we'll do, he won't do any matches, but I think he'll be a TV character for a while.
I would hope so. Fans love Shane McMahon. Yeah.
So I think what will happen is, like, someone will interfere. I think the best candidates are either The Rock. Keep him out of the main event. Don't ruin The Rock by putting him involved in the main event. But
Stone Cold Steve Austin's supposed to be there. And Austin can reignite his feud with McMahon, or at least throw back to that.
Yep.
Stun Taker, screw him over, and screw Vince over.
Yep. Or what the best one would be is have the main roster debut of Balor happen that night. And have him, Gallows, and Anderson attack The Undertaker to make change. And then the next day on Raw, Balor can do a promo where something to the effect of, while some people promised change, I actually brought change to WWE.
That's not that bad of an idea. Take a shot
at
CM Punk.
Stop being sensible.
Stop booking it well.
I got to stop with this making sense with wrestling booking.
But here's the thing. Again, maybe just because I'm a Taker mark and I just don't see why. Taker's WrestleMania undefeated streak, yes, I've accepted that that it ended at WrestleMania 30 at the hands of Brock Lesnar. If Taker loses, he will have a 22 and 2 victory at WrestleMania, and his two losses will be Brock Lesnar, who is physically, who physically looks like, okay, the, he it's believable
he
could
like
defeat
Donkey
him.
Kong, the live action person,
and his other loss will be Shane McMahon. Like,
yeah, but like, here's the thing though, like,
but I can understand if maybe. If Taker's still at least going until Survivor Series or SummerSlam or whatever.
That won't be his last matchup. They'll give him one more. Maybe they'll have him go to Survivor Series.
I don't I don't think this is Taker's last match. I think this is his last WrestleMania by far.
And, you know, have him lose to Shane because, again, like, he's old school. So you know what they do when you're old school? You lose on the way out.
Oh, he absolutely is old school. He wanted Randy Orton to end the streak. He wanted Mark Henry for some reason to win to beat the streak. He wanted Batista to beat the streak. He wanted a lot of people to end his streak.
You know, the only other person aside from Lesnar who could have handled ending the streak was Punk.
Well, yeah, because Punk just didn't give a shit.
He would have, because he can play the heel well enough, the hated heel well enough.
Look what he did with Straight Edge Society. Yeah. I mean, he was. It was to the point where people were yelling at him, you're the Antichrist. He's like, that's exactly what I wanted. Yeah. Like, he loved getting under people's skin. Punk could have handled it. Randy Orton absolutely
biggest heel
could have
in the company at the time, and he was still the Mania before, I'm sorry, the Raw before Mania the year that they fought. It was the crowd was chanting Undertaker CM Punk.
Yeah,
and
I
was
like, pretty evenly. Yeah,
that was fun.
That was also like this area, so it was like a New York, New Jersey crowd. So yeah, like there's probably a lot of fans who remember him from like the Ring of Honor days. Like people forget, like he won his Ring of Honor title in Jersey.
It's also just not hard to get on board when something's real, you know?
Yeah.
New Day is fun. They're having fun, so that's why people are attracted to it.
Yeah. You just know? like and that feud Taker and CM Punk got the benefit. Now, I feel weird saying gift or benefit because of the circumstance, but Paul Bearer dying when that feud was going on, like that made that feud seem that much more real.
Oh yeah, especially with what Punk was doing with the Aaron going, ooh, yeah, just do it, yeah. Like
Paul
Bearer,
Paul Heyman coming out as. I mean, there was a lot of dark stuff that happened.
But the set, but
the show with the ashes, that one to end the one segment,
and also. If Paul Bearer were alive, a lot of people gave WWE flack for doing that. But if Paul Bearer were alive, then he understood the art of like old school wrestling.
Supposedly his family was in on it.
Yeah, Heyman would have. I'm sorry, Bearer would have loved that. Would have loved that angle.
Oh man!
And what they did, I loved it. I love that build. That I will always say his match with Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 25 was my favorite match Taker ever had at WrestleMania. But the build versus CM Punk was a much better build. Yeah. I will agree to that.
That was the best build of a Taker match. I still think Punk Taker was the best Taker match. Like I will argue that. The one with Michaels was great too. I didn't think the Triple H ones were as good.
I hope there's a part of me that just hopes that you guys are just going to not talk about Reigns Triple H. We're just going to. All right, guys. So that's everything worth talking about at Mania.
Sadly, we are missing the main event of WrestleMania: Triple H versus Roman Reigns.
Oh boy, he's.
I think I made this joke on Facebook that I wish that I could have a love like Vince McMahon and Roman Reigns has. after 2 years of nothing but problems, you know, everyone's saying it's just not working. What are you two doing? Here we are together again, facing down the odds.
So if you want to preview this match of what this match is going to look like, I have. I know. And I feel
Triple H will get a passable match out of Roman Reigns. Like Triple H isn't really a great
I don't care about the ring work on this one. I don't care about just this.
And Triple H can sell a good story. It's just Roman Reigns won't be able to pull his weight with that.
And no, I'm not even hating Roman Reigns. Yeah. He's just not a guy I'm interested in.
I think Triple H far outshines Roman Reigns in this match.
Reigns needs a heel turn.
So here we go. Here's what happened between Triple H and Roman Reigns
before or after Stephanie McMahon cut the balls off the rest of the roster.
Very true. So here we go.
Today isn't about marching bands or unicorn horns or street fights. It's not about ladder matches or legacy.
So after.
This Sunday is about the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. It's a about
God, I love
my
Stephanie.
Husband.
Oh, wait.
It's about forever. The game. The cerebral Ben now forever. Assassin.
Oh, boy, listen to that. Those
pause for a second. Pause a second.
It's also about the challenger.
Remember a few years ago before Seth Rollins turned in the Shield when that theme would get a huge pop?
Can we just listen to this again? Listen to the overwhelming boos that comes from this New York crowd. Oh! Oh!
And it's also about the challenger.
I like it better when it had Sierra Hotel, India Echo, Lima Delta.
That's another reason I hate Roman Reigns. I don't actually hate him.
He didn't get his own theme. He just had a rendition of the Shield
all
theme.
All he is just the Shield by himself. He was wearing the same gear. So now when those, like the thing when DX would come back or NWO would come back, any group would come back, hearing the familiar theme music you don't hear all the time anymore. It's part of that nostalgia kick, so you wind up getting like you're super into the angle. And then what happens with them is that when the Shield comes back, it's just hearing the words beforehand.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. That's all it's going to be. Or oh wow, look, Ambrose is wearing something with sleeves. That's going to be the big draw. But it's bothered me.
Rollins doesn't like the white Power Ranger.
So there you go. Let's watch the rest of this.
For the WWE World
Let's just take
title.
In the crowd a booing Reigns.
This is much slower than the fast forward I watched it on my DVR.
Triple H doing what Triple H does. Triple H is, his, my opinion, one of the best bad guys ever in WWE history. Love Triple H.
Oh no.
And Triple H rolling out of the
People
ring
cheer when Triple H throws punches, but boo when Reigns throws punches.
Spearing Stephanie would have been a move. That would have been something to get him going.
I don't know, guys. It does not look good for Roman Reigns.
I see they cut right before the crowd chanted, "You still suck."
No, that was on there. I heard that one, too. Well, because there was a brawl that was supposed to come following that, right? Yeah.
I just downloaded the video from WWE 2, too. I can see why they cut out the "You still suck."
Yeah, the thing, like, they're known for messing with crowd audio a lot. Like muting it or making it louder than it should be.
Yeah, the what you just heard, guys, was the YouTube video of WWE.
It's a bunch of New Yorkers. Of course, they're much louder than that.
If you DVR'd Monday Night Raw, the boos were much, much louder.
They're New Yorkers. They're pretentious enough where they've got to be the loudest crowd ever. Like, if they're not, then the next time they're there, they will out loud everybody because they have to be.
All right. So let's go to the. Let's finish the tonight's show with our predictions. Let's just start from the ground up.
Started from the bottom. Now we're here.
Yes. I'm just going to go in order, and we'll do our WrestleMania predictions. I'm only going to do the main card, because really, who cares about the pre-show? The New Day versus the League of Nations. Who do you got, Mike?
I think it's non-title, so League of Nations, and then next month will be the title match, and New Day will win.
KP?
They really threw us for a swerve with the title not being on the line. I think they're sold on the League of Nations thing, and they're going to try to develop it. But isn't Barrett leaving after Mania?
No, I believe so. There's a rumor that he is indeed leaving.
That would suck, because he, like, a guy who should have been like a world champion at one point.
Yeah, I prefer the New Day if I got to pick somebody.
I would pick the New Day as well.
Will win the rematch, I think.
I would say the New Day wins at WrestleMania. Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. I'm
going to be honest. I don't know who's going to win it, but I will say this. It's not going to be anybody who's listed right now.
I would say, if I have to pick who's officially listed, Kane.
No, he's not.
But then again, I don't care. I'm not interested in this match. It doesn't excite me. There's nothing going on there. AJ Styles versus Chris Jericho. Who do you got?
I've got AJ Styles. Like, Jericho's going to put AJ Styles over.
I completely agree, just for the sake that Jericho wants to put people over. I got AJ Styles. KP?
I say do it the opposite. I think we got such a cool, lovable loser thing going on with a lot of the big guys on the roster. Ambrose always so close. Daniel Bryan always so close. I say have Jericho beat him, and then maybe they come back to it in a couple of, set that up for a SummerSlam rematch, possibly. I don't know. This one has legs.
No. They've already had like three matches.
This is like the culmination of their feud.
Yeah, AJ Styles will win that one.
I just feel like it still has legs if they wanted it to.
And they'll move on to other feuds for AJ. So it's like, I'm sure, like, by SummerSlam, AJ and Kevin Owens feuding.
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad either.
Not at all.
And that's who I have retaining, by the way, next match. Retaining. I have Owens retaining.
Either Owens retaining or Zayn winning, and then Owens winning it back tomorrow.
Zayn has no momentum in WWE, in terms of WWE right now. He's got an NXT fan base that's huge. You know, obviously in Canada he had that huge debut and everything, but he's got no momentum in WWE. I don't think anybody gives a shit about him. Doesn't know about him already, if that makes sense. I don't think he's bringing new fans.
He's going to be like Daniel Bryan. Loved by the indie fans, and
eventually, listen, though, here's the thing. Sami Zayn's got the ability to connect with the crowd. That's going to win him the marks.
Eventually, he's going to be way over with them. I agree with you. But as of right now, like they were saying, if you don't, they refer to the feud, but nobody like understands. So if you watch, like I have little cousins that watch, you know?
Yeah.
They don't have a fucking clue. You know, they're just like, oh, he's a cool guy. He's happy. Yeah. Happy music. He wears funny cab driver hats. But, you know, there aren't anything else there.
What did Miz call him? Skinny Seth Rogen?
Yeah, that was solid.
Next match, Divas Championship Triple Threat. Charlotte versus Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch. I got Sasha Banks.
Yeah, this is Sasha's moment.
I got, I'm thinking, I don't know if we're going to do sandwiches or wings. you know, pizza works.
But you will have Vaseline and tissues.
Well, I mean, that's a perennial for
no,
me.
No, he goes like Ice Cube talking about NWA, no Vaseline.
Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker, Hell in a Cell. I got Taker jobs to Shane via outside interference, either by Austin or a new Balor Club.
That's what I'm sticking with, too.
Taker loses like via outside interference.
Balor, that would be the best way to bring up Balor.
I like Mike's idea. I'd be happy to see that.
Dean Ambrose versus Brock Lesnar, no holds barred street fight. Who do you got?
Ambrose.
No interference?
No, there'll be interference. Probably Wyatt family, but Ambrose. It'll make him a star, that match. And again, like you guys said, like anytime Ambrose has any semblance of an upper hand in that match, the crowd is going to eat it all up. Like more than they ate it up in that four-way for the title last year, the three Shield members and Orton when they did the triple powerbomb. That times like 20.
I agree. I think Dean Ambrose is going to be super over in this match, and it's going to be a great war between him and Lesnar. And I think I'm going to agree with you here. Wyatt family outside interference. Yeah. Just when Ambrose has the match won against Lesnar, Wyatt family screws him over.
By the way, one person I think could win the
and then
battle
Lesnar
royal,
wins
if he's in it is Bray Wyatt if they put him in there.
All right,
to reestablish credibility. Yeah,
I gotta ask a dumb question. Holy shit, Bray Wyatt has nothing to do at WrestleMania.
Yeah, nothing.
The easiest guy to write for in the history
is not on WrestleMania.
His character is the love child of The Undertaker and Jake Roberts.
Yeah,
yeah, and I mean they've got,
and he can go. He's a great performer.
And I mean you got Ambrose who's like basically a Pillman / Piper.
I'm going to actually say this. I think that Ambrose wins more by losing that match. I don't think the winner winds up because you're going to definitely they're going to blade. They're going to let Ambrose blade for this.
Either way, Ambrose is coming out a huge star.
He's going to come out the better participant in the match.
Either even with interference, either he pins Lesnar or he takes such a beating and just does not quit. Maybe he doesn't get pinned. They stop the match.
That's the way I would book it. I would have Lesnar win clean, but he was in serious jeopardy. And watching Brock Lesnar be hobbled and be walked out by Paul Heyman as smirking Ambrose is covered in blood. That to me sets it all up for you.
Mike just said it. No outside interference. They beat the living hell out of each other. And Brock Lesnar beats Ambrose to a pulp. And like Ambrose will like bloody mess, just looks up at it, just flips him off, and just passes out. It's literally going to be Austin at WrestleMania 13 again.
Yep. You can build this dude for his whole career based
off
a loss.
If they book it right,
yes,
that's how they go about it.
Any interference is going to ruin it for me. I don't want anybody involved with that one. You know,
maybe they can have the Wyatt family do something after the match.
All for the Wyatt family to lose again at Payback.
Yeah.
For God's sake, let Bray Wyatt win once in a while, Vince. And finally, the main event. WWE Heavyweight Championship Triple H versus Roman Reigns.
I'm gonna do some like 2 day booking here. Roman Reigns wins the title. He gets booed mercilessly in a win. Ambrose, we'll say we do the scenario where Ambrose loses it but gets like a huge reaction afterwards. So the next day on Raw, you got Ambrose and Reigns kind of doing their buddy buddy thing in the ring. or at the end of the show, maybe, there's a match, and Reigns spears Ambrose because he's jealous that he's the champion, he won the main event, but everybody's talking about Ambrose.
Oh.
That would make two stars. Like, that would fulfill the three guys of the Shield being main event stars in the WWE.
Reigns has no future as a babyface.
As far as like who wins this match, Reigns.
No. Reigns has a future.
Reigns is walking out of Texas, the WWE champion.
Reigns has a future as a babyface if he does a heel turn.
Yeah, his current current thing right now. Now, Cena, I don't like him. I get annoyed by him a lot.
Cena can be the best heel in the company.
But simultaneously, he was what a fantastic tweener he plays. Because literally, I've never seen somebody work a demographic against another demographic.
Yep.
That's brilliant what he does there.
No matter how, if you loved him or hated him, you were talking about him. And you were hoping to watch him.
He engaged
me. You couldn't wait. Whether you wanted to see him get beat up or win, you watched John Cena segments.
Yeah, and that was, now a lot of time, if he was in a, anytime he was in a good feud, you know, with somebody who could hold their own against him, that was always fascinating television. Anytime he had his monster feuds, like, the Big Show again, his annual Big Show versus Cena feud. Fast forward through all that shit.
Or Randy Orton.
Yeah, well, but anytime you got somebody interesting.
And Edge.
With Randy Orton, though, there's always a chance Orton wins. So it's not like the same old, because there were two guys that were heavily protected.
So, I'm sorry, I got off track on that. But what I was going to say was that, friggin' Reigns does not have that part of him where he can work around. Like, Reigns is clearly, someone was actually pointing this out. He doesn't do any of the gestures anymore. He's not joking around and smiling like, Steph, what are you talking? He's not doing his goofy shit anymore.
Yeah.
It's just all action. They don't even let him talk. They cut him off every opportunity to speak this past Raw. Bubba Ray cut him off. Triple H cut him off. He's been cut off. Like, they're just not letting him talk because it's not going good.
What, you mean they're not letting him say Suffer and Succotash anymore?
Well, if they
that was the low
for
me with Reigns. And the sad thing is, I like Roman Reigns.
There's nothing wrong with him. Nothing wrong with
him. Yeah,
matches have been improving. It's just his character is just, it's I'm done. I'm over it.
Well, is it?
But
is it,
has the potential to be that this generation's Rock, because look what happened with The Rock. He came in as Rocky Maivia. Good, happy-go-lucky babyface. Hey, cheer for me. Boo. Die, Rocky, die. And what happened? The Rock turned heel, and he became the biggest star the company ever saw.
You know what, though? Like, when they did The Rock's heel turn, he wasn't a three-time WWF champion at the time.
That's a weird point, yeah.
Very good point.
But, yeah, I think that's going to be... This WrestleMania will serve as a reset button, because last year, like you guys were saying earlier, that Seth Rollins cash-in, that fixed a lot of problems.
Yeah, and the Mania before that. WrestleMania 30 was the passing of the torch from the previous post-Attitude era to the new generation. WrestleMania 31 was, okay, we fixed a couple of things here and there. Here we go. And this is like, okay, we fucked up royally. Let's reboot it.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that, KP. That's a very good point.
Like, and here's the thing, though. Like, look at Rollins. And early on, they were trying to blame low ratings on Rollins as champion. But something happened around, like, summertime, and he became one of the best parts of the show.
Well, yeah, because his promos were amazing.
His promos were great. His matches were top-notch.
And his laugh. Yeah.
Who designed his poor costume, though? They set him up like, he looked like Kurt Russell in Escape from L.A.
Yeah. Yeah. His theme song sounds like a Howard Jones, Eric Killswitch Engage song, too.
Oh, that, what was it? Kill Seth Engage?
Yeah, Kill Seth Engage. Like, I'm sure he didn't mind that because he's a metalcore fan, so...
And can't really complain about that.
I mean, granted, his ex-girlfriend likes to like Hitler pictures, but...
Well, everyone
You don't have
does.
A couple you like, just a couple, you know?
So with that, we look very much forward to WrestleMania 32 and our next show, which we'll be talking all about WrestleMania 32, what we thought of the show, what happened.
And the better one, which will be the day after WrestleMania Raw.
Best
day of the year.
Will.
Best Monday of the year.
Best Monday Night Raw of the year is the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania, because those European fans are amazing.
Yeah.
KP Burke, is there a Twitter or next show you're promoting? What do you got?
We got follow me on Twitter at KP Burke Sucks. Sucks CKS. You know, not with the X. I'm not trendy in that regard. And then actually, I'm going to plug a friend show, if that's all right. This Friday... our own handsome Michael Falcone is going to be hosting for headliner Joe Conte at the Comedy Shop in Mount Arlington, New Jersey. And I will have Mike's job of seating people.
Yes.
So this is a big night for our buddy Mike, so I wanted to go ahead and give him a shout-out on there for him.
Anybody? Well, all right. Then I don't have to plug that, and I'll just say Hipster Punchy on Twitter.
And you can follow me at Brainstew Media on Twitter. This has been the return of Brainstew Wrestling. We look forward to seeing you next Wednesday night at 10 o'clock Eastern right here on BrainstewRadio.com. Thank you very much for listening. The podcast will be posted up shortly. Have a good night, guys.
Hashtag Team Uppercut.
Sat and watched them burn.